Fillmore Street. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from San Francisco's Lower Hayes. Today is Thursday, the 21st of September, 2017. On this date, in 1192, English King Richard the Lionheart is captured by Leopold V, Duke of Austria. 1780, Benedict Arnold gives British Major John Andre plans to West Point. 1827, according to Joseph Smith Jr., the angel Moroni gave him a record of gold plates, one-third of which Joseph translated into the Book of Mormon. 1922, U.S. President Warren Harding signs a joint resolution of approval to establish a Jewish homeland in Palestine. 1936, Spanish fascist junta names Francisco Franco as Generalissimo. 1937, J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit is published in London. Birthdays are sci-fi writer H.G. Wells in 1866 and singer Leonard Cohen in 1934. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. Podcast is written by Robin Bortner. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tepealpod.com or send us an email at tepealpod@gmail.com. Despite all the tough talk of arrests and extradition, the Ukrainian government has backed down on Misha. Prosecutor General Yuri Lutsenko gave the official opinion on the 16th of September, saying that Misha will not be arrested for last week's forced border crossing. He gave the excuse that Misha may have some sort of document which could allow him to stay, although it's unclear what this so far unmentioned document may be, and Misha says that he's got no document. Prosecutor also said that those who helped Misha across the border will face criminal charges, but they will not be arrested, which means they're letting him off. Only those who are known to have physically assaulted border guards during the crossing have warrants out for their arrest. Misha does have theoretical court date over the crossing, which was originally set for the 18th of September, but was pushed back to the 22nd. Meanwhile, Misha has launched a tour around western Ukraine and vowed at rallies to solve the country's political crisis. As part of this tour, he was in Kiev on the 19th of September, criticizing the current system and threatening the oligarchs that will be ousted if they do not reform. He says his ambition is not to hold an official position, but to rally the people to demand reform. Word on the street is that things are looking up for Misha in terms of his approval ratings, which were relatively low, but getting better. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres addressed the status of internationally displaced persons from Abkhazia and South Ossetia in statements to journalists last week. He said that IDPs should always have a right of return, which he sees as a central human right. In addition, he praised Georgia's continued support of these refugees as both moderate and wise. Finally, he commented that despite the slow pace of the Geneva negotiations, he thought there was still hope for resolution to the conflict. Statement came as part of the run-up to the 72nd General Assembly, which started on the 21st of September. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili is in New York meeting with leaders. He met with EU Council President Donald Tusk to discuss economic development, garner continued support for territorial integrity. At the Assembly, Kvitikashvili will accept for Georgia the new one-year chairmanship of the Open Government Partnership Steering Committee, which supports government transparency and democracy development. Georgia is taking over the chair from France. For most of the UN summit, Georgia will be represented by Foreign Minister Mikhail Dzhanalidze, who vows he will work to keep Georgia issues active on the UN agenda. He's conducting a lot of bilateral meetings with other foreign ministers, usually to promote trade, tourism, and territorial integrity. As of this podcast, he's met with representatives from Colombia, Liechtenstein, Vanuatu, and the Vatican. Draft constitution developed between President Georgi Margvelashvili and the coalition of opposition parties is in progress and will be presented to Parliament and the Venice Commission next week. UNM spokesman Nikusha Rudua said that the consensus among the opposition over the contents of the draft is high. He added that they are working hard to keep as much of Otsneva's draft in place as possible. The clock is ticking on getting this done. The third and final meeting of the Venice Commission is at the end of September. A ninth candidate is in the race for Tbilisi mayor. The Labour Party, which won 3% of the vote in 2016 and did not enter parliament in the parliamentary elections, nominated its political secretary, Georgi Gugava, for the post. He held his launch event in Sololaki near Bizina's residence. In his speech, he said that he was an honest fighter for the people and that corrupt oligarchs and billionaires had no place in governance. Fighting corruption was his main campaign promise. Also in municipal elections, the first openly gay woman launched her bid for city council. Nina Bolkvadze, a human rights lawyer and LGBT activist, is running for the Republican Party. She said that she wants to give notice to otherwise invisible problems such as homelessness, unemployment, poverty, and hate crimes. The Republican Party secretary said she was disappointed that the sexual preference of their candidate is surprising. party also has nominated a former Christian monk. Members of Parliament from Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine released a joint statement calling for the EU to offer them prospective membership at the Eastern Partnership Summit held this November. Their case outlined the strategic importance of the three countries, as well as their desire for European democratic governance. Leyla Mustafayeva, wife of abducted Azeri journalist Afghan Mukhtarli, held a rally and press conference on the 19th of September demanding a greater response from the Georgian government, despite receiving negative attention from international human rights organizations and the EU, and an EU resolution demanding her release. The Georgian government has done little to nothing to pressure Baku since his May kidnapping, and nothing has come of their investigation since they were involved themselves. At the conference, she also said she is constantly being followed by unknown men taking photos and videos recording of her movement. Fellow Azeri activist Dashkin Agharli also made similar claims about surveillance in Tbilisi. Despite complaints to the Georgian government from both individuals, no action has been taken. Last week, a heated physical exchange occurred at the social services office in Guldani between social workers and a mother whose children were in state custody due to alleged neglect. Social workers reported that when the police were called, they tried to downplay the incident, suggesting that nothing serious had occurred and advising the office to install an iron door instead of calling the police. This incident is another example of the repeated accusations of poor police response to altercations. The hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, released their assessment of the new commercial court being set up by the Judicial Reform Committee. TI supports initiatives which makes doing business easier, which is ostensibly the reason behind this new court, but it doesn't think there are enough safeguards in this court to stop corruption in a system which is already prone to it. They think that the government needs to focus their attention on a large overhaul rather than a quick fix. Georgia is one of the few countries to allow official government real estate transactions to take place through blockchain, which is the thing used by Bitcoin to sort of keep track of itself. As such, Georgia will be showcasing an example of the technology's success at the International Blockchain Summit in New York on the 10th of November. Aim of the conference is to make blockchain a legitimate platform for government transactions worldwide. For Georgia, blockchain says widespread use could reduce property registration fees by 95%, although they're pretty low already in Georgia. So for those who don't know, blockchain is sort of a method by which you keep track of something in distributed computer systems, and is the way that people know who's got how much Bitcoin. It's also, there's a lot of Bitcoin mining, which is a way you go through mathematical stuff using a bunch of server space, which takes a lot of electricity, done by a Georgian-Ukrainian contact of Bidzina, who was given a lot of free electricity at the Bitcoin mine, which is basically a big server farm that creates Bitcoin. Construction along Tbilisi's Pekini Avenue is now complete. The road features a 1 kilometer two-way bicycle lane, first of its kind in the city. In addition to the lane, the sidewalk was expanded, sewer system modernized. An official opening ceremony will be held on the 21st of September today. New waste processing factory for Tbilisi is almost ready for completion. The factory will be up to European standards with capabilities to sort and recycle waste cleanly. The waste will be turned into synthetic diesel and bitumen, a compound used for asphalt. The project began a year ago when KDV Georgia Company won the bid from City Hall. Universal Postal Union, the UN organization which oversees the usage of stamps in the global postal system, has reiterated its rejection of stamps from Abkhazia and South Ossetia, despite the fact that they are sold on stamp collectors' websites. Georgia has a number of rare stamps due to changing politics of the 20th century, making the country of high interest to collectors. There seem to be a lot of counterfeits floating around. Six popular Georgian electronic music producers are in Berlin to make a new recording titled Sounds from Georgia. The record is aimed to showcase the dynamic music scene in Georgia, and only 400 copies of the recording will be released. The artists will also give several live performances. This event is part of the ongoing celebration of 25 years of Georgian-German relations. Georgian wine is on sale for the first time in 45 supermarkets in Beijing due to a deal made with importer Cheers wines. Free tastings are being held at the supermarkets for several years. China is currently the second largest importer of Georgian wine, and its consumption has been rising exponentially. 2017 sales so far are up 51% year on year over 2016. This is the first time that the wine will see distribution outside of specialty shops, and the hope is that demand will grow even further. Georgia's Minister of Economics and 120 Georgian companies are also in China this week for its International Fair for Investment and Trade. They hope to further connect Georgia and Chinese business and business people. Transitions Online reported that famed director David Lynch will be visiting Tbilisi in November to set up a film festival and in general support of film in Georgia. He's a dedicated meditator, has written a very interesting book on transcendental meditation. Check that out before he arrives. Parliamentary news. Negotiations have begun on a free trade agreement with the United States. First Vice Speaker Tamar Tsvetaeva will lead the Washington delegation in order to work out an agreement with Congress. Also discuss were the usual issues of territorial integrity, NATO and EU integration, and constitutional reform. The meme this week is a series of fashion photos coming out of this week's Tbilisi Photo Festival depicting traditional women's fashions in Georgia. The accompanying text explains the symbolic significance of some of the headdresses and jewelry. CRC's latest blog features the rate of private tutoring in Georgia. They found that 47% of households in Tbilisi and 32% of rural households with school-age tutors engage private tutors. A lot of it related to universities. Private tutoring is correlated to income levels and parents with higher education levels. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty interviewed a legal expert about Misha's situation. In the expert's opinion, Ukraine needs greater justification to take away his passport. He also said as it stands, finding justification for extradition to Georgia would be very difficult. Our former writer Joe Larson wrote about the tactics behind Russia's borderization activities for the Georgian Institute of Politics. He argues that borderization makes the Georgian government look ineffective and weakens the overall democratic system by creating dissent and anxiety among the population. And if that's your goal, it works pretty well, but that's kind of sad. British-born City Council candidate Joseph Alexander Smith gave an interview to dedicated listener David Lee with the European Business Association about his platform and policies he'd support if elected. In general, he's running as an independent against corruption and for economic development and poverty reduction, with interest in parks and public areas as well. Miami Herald published an article about the ongoing legal proceedings between the large corporation running the manganese mines in Chiatura and the Georgian government. Their take on the million-dollar lawsuit is largely sympathetic to the company, arguing that the government is using trumped-up charges and questionable procedures in order to nationalize the operation. Politico reported on the work of Tbilisi State University-educated Georgian researcher and academic Irakli Loladze, who's been behind some groundbreaking research on the impact of climate change on plants. He's found that rising CO2 levels have bred more plants, but that these plants have much lower levels of nutrients. Although not well known, he is among the Georgian scientists in the world doing the most original and important research. Everybody should read this this article. He is he's a very important individual, hitherto not particularly well known. 2016 novel by Georgian author Guram Odishadia, entitled The President's Cat, has been winning praise this year, most recently in Budapest. It's been translated into Hungarian now, among many, many other languages. The Budapest Times recognized it as a work which Abkhazia and Georgia can claim together. It covers some of the shared trauma of the 1992 war. This novel is set in Sukhumi and is based on events in the colorful life of peacemaker Mikhail Bgabjba. New York Times released an extensive look into the economic development of Astana, Kazakhstan, and how President Nazarbayev is trying to transform the city into a new financial hub for other former Soviet republics. The Times reports there has been some success in developing a middle class and enticing early investors, but nepotism and control of oligarchs remain a problem. All this stuff to read is posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 7.34 million. That's the amount in donations in Lodi, it's never received between July and September this year, according to the latest figures released by the state auditor. Their donations are much higher than all the other parties' donations combined. European Georgia came in second with around 300,000 lari. All the other parties received very little money. The Alliance of Patriots was third with 15,600 lari, and UNM received just over 5,000 lari. The auditor's office also reported that they are investigating individuals who made large contributions. Currently, individual donations are capped at 60,000 lari, and legal entities can give up to 120,000 lari. UN Institute for Culture is hosting its International Day of Languages in Tbilisi this Sunday, the 24th of September. It will be held at the First Classical Gymnasium between 10 and 6, featuring language workshops and cultural displays. Ajada is hosting its fifth annual International Birdwatching Festival between the 24th and 30th of September. It will feature lectures and educational excursions to birdwatching platforms. Birds which don't like to cross mountains and seas migrate through Ajada every autumn, making it well known to enthusiasts. The American Language Center is offering 3 weeks beginning Georgian courses starting on the 26th of September. Lessons are available in both mornings and evenings. The cost is 160 lari for 12 hours of lessons. British Georgian Society is hosting the Rustavi Choir on the 30th of September at the British Library in London. Ambassador Tamar Berochashvili and singer Keti Medowa will also be in attendance. There will also be a wide variety of lectures in the afternoon. Tickets are available online. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is fieldpod@gmail.com. Post the form on our website, www.fieldpod.com. And we will finish with a fairly new song, March 2017. This is Portugal and The Man and Feel It Still.
Yeah, your lovers and a piece for my heart to eclipse now. Might be over now.